The question was asked, why do different people wear different kippot? So, technically, we have to first understand why we wear a kippah altogether, and then a little bit about the halachot of kippah, and then we could discuss why different people wear different kippah. So the Talmud records that there was a rabbi who was rushing to take his son to learn Torah, Talmud in Kiddushin, and he had a towel wrapped around his head. He bumped into another rabbi and said, why do you have a towel wrapped around your head? He said, well, I recognize that God is above. It's a recognition. We see that not everyone wore a head covering, and we see that some people didn't. They wanted to ensure that they wore it, even if they had to rush to get their kid out to school, they put something on. The original custom of wearing a head covering was a midat chasidut, something that was for the pious. Over the years, the Jews accepted it. Initially, the halacha only required us to wear a head covering when we pray, when we make a blessing, when we do something holy. In shul, people wear a kippah. There you must wear a kippah. You have to wear a kippah for davening, etc. But the rest of the time, people would take off their kippah. They'd come home, they'd want to eat their meals, they'd put on a kippah. The rest of the day, they'd be without it. They'd come to shul, they'd put on a kippah. They'd leave, they'd finish praying, they'd take it off. This was up until about 700 years ago. And then it became accepted to wear a kippah, more and more accepted. And ever since it became accepted, it became something that discerns between a Jew and a non-Jew. Now, we have a halacha, a biblical halacha, that says that if there is a custom that Jews do and non-Jews do not do, and the reason Jews do it is out of modesty, an attempt to behave modestly, so then the Torah says you are prohibited from behaving the way the non-Jews do. Because if there's something that Jews do out of modesty, you're not supposed to be like the non-Jews. So, for example, in King David's time, the Jews kept a relatively organized haircut, and the non-Jews would grow long hairs, the knights would have his long ponytails in the back, and a whole who knows what coming out of the front. And that was a distinction between Jews and non-Jews. So a Jew wasn't supposed to grow his hair like a non-Jew in those times. That was something of distinction, that we out of modesty kept our hair short, and they, showing their might, would grow their hair long. This is halacha that changes with the times. You wouldn't say, for example, that wearing pants is a problem, right? Everyone wears pants. But there was a time when Jews would wear black to commemorate the destruction of the temple. They didn't wear... They had certain colors that they would wear, certain colors that they wouldn't wear, out of modesty. They wouldn't wear flashy colors. The non-Jews had colors that they wore that attracted attention. So there, again, halacha would apply. It's something that we did differently, attempting to be modest people. So then if a person changed from that, that would be a problem. Today, we wear the kippah. The kippah we call yarmulka, yareme eloka, to indicate that we are God-fearing people. And today, it's a problem if a person walks around without a kippah. There's still one group of people, the Sfardim, who come from Chalab. They're called the Chalabim. They still go without a kippah outside of shul. They only wear it at home, and that's their custom, and that's fine. But for the rest of the Jewish people, a person today is obligated to wear a kippah. It's not like once upon a time where it was a midat chasidut. Today, it's more of an obligatory nature. Now, that being said, what constitutes a kippah? So there are opinions that say you have to wear something that from every side people see you, they see that you're wearing a kippah. Okay, but we could go with the more lenient opinion, Rabbi Feinstein's opinion, and he says any garment, any piece of cloth that's of, even the little kippah, so long as it's a garment, it's some form of garment that you're putting on your head, that's okay. So there isn't the minimum size that has to be like this or like that. You don't have to go by the minimum. I said, being that we were in a yeshiva for people who are just doing tshuva, putting on a kippah for the first time in their lives, so we don't have to go with the most stringent opinion. So we should be aware, and when we view other people, we should also be aware that there is a very, very valid halachic opinion that says that the small size is also acceptable. It's a good thing to wear a bigger kippah. It affects a person. The Talmud tells us there was one of the rabbi's wives was told by the stargazers that her son would be a thief. So from the minute the baby was born, she put a kippah on his head. And she always used to tell him, even as a kid, you keep that kippah on your head so you'll be a God-fearing person. And the Talmud said it worked. So today you go to Shaare Tzedek Hospital, you see a bunch of little babies with little kippot holding onto their heads. Their parents are hoping that's what's going to make the difference. Because we live in a day and age where people are looking for the easy out. To pour your blood into chinuch, sweat, tears, that's hard. To buy a little kippah to put on the baby when he's sitting in the nursery in Shaare Tzedek, that's much easier. You know, that's why people are all interested in segulot. If people don't like making decisions, they go to some rabbi who could tell them Miji Biji and give them the answer for their life. Life isn't about that. Judaism isn't about that. It's a game. And the same thing with this. You want to put on a kippah on a child from the time he's born, good for you. Makes you happy, fine. It has basis in the Talmud. It's a story that's quoted in the Talmud, that's fine. Technically, he doesn't have to. I mean, it's like all other chinuch. When he's capable of doing it on his own, then he's responsible to do it. And that's fine. But a bigger kippah that a person senses he's wearing something is something that's worth investing in. Then it has that effect. Just like she put on a kippah and she said, you keep that on, so it has the effect on you. You recognize someone's above. When you take a tiny kippah that you barely know is on your head, or if it flew off, it probably has less of an impact on the person. So it's a good idea to have a bigger kippah that you feel. Now, what kind of kippah should you wear? Black, white, green, knitted, not knitted? What was the custom in Europe? What was the custom? Velvet, whatever. What was the custom in Europe? What was the custom? I mean, what was generally accepted up until about 60 years ago was that people wore black kippah. They wore simple, made of velvet, made of material like this. That's what was accepted. And then the people in the Mizrahi movement wanted to make something that was more beautiful, something that showed that we're a new generation and we're the generation of redemption. And their rabbi, Rav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kuk, was against it. He said, you don't do something that makes us different than everyone else. If all the Jews are wearing black, don't be different. So they didn't listen to him. They still went ahead and put on... It caught like wildfire. Today, you have a situation where, just like if you wear certain clothing, you're making a certain statement. The yarmulke became a statement. It's not right, but no one defines social norms. We don't decide what the social norms should be. Society decides it for us. Technically, halachically, whatever you wear is fine. It makes no difference. There's no halacha that says it should be black or white or green or anything else. Any color yarmulke, knitted or not knitted, makes no difference. When there were political fights in Hanovre, where people were starting to talk about this one and that one, with the black yarmulke, the knitted yarmulke, so the Rebbe of Boston gathered together all the people who wore black yarmulkes, and he held a meeting and he said, I have a secret I want to share with all of you. So they're all listening. He says, I too wear a knitted yarmulke. And he took off his hat, and there's that little white, the white beanie that the Hasidim wear. He says, I also wear a knitted yarmulke. So if you guys have an issue with it, I'm also one of them. It makes it really makes no difference. Halachically. But you have to recognize that you live in a society that gauges you. It gauges you based on the way you dress. Whether you like it or not, that's the impression you make. So we had a guy in Machon Meir who went to be a mashgiach in Chutz La'aretz. And I told him, I recommend he switches to a black kippah. Because in Chutz La'aretz, the assumption is, if you wear a knitted yarmulke, you're probably less observant. It's not a correct assumption. But no one asks us what's correct or what's not correct. People see you, they gauge you based on what you wear. We had another guy who was going to the army wearing a black kippah, and I recommended to him switch to knitted kippah, because you're going to be with people that wear knitted kippah. You're around people like that. They're going to look at you and think, he's probably one of A, B, C, and D. Is it right? No, it's not right. No one should judge us based upon how we dress. But at the end of the day, people do. So we have to be practical. When people see us, one of the things here in Israel that makes a huge difference is whether you wear a black yarmulke or a knitted yarmulke. If you wear a black yarmulke, people assume you think that the government stinks, you think that we shouldn't participate in the government, that taxes aren't so important, army service is not important, you're waiting for the day the Messiah is going to make this a religious state. You wear a knitted yarmulke, people assume you serve in the army, you believe in serving in the army, you pay your taxes, and you're probably going to spend your time, if you're learning, also earning a livelihood. Are any of these assumptions correct? No. They're all stereotypes, and like all stereotypes, when you generalize about people, you're not going to be right. So there's nothing right about it. But at the end of the day, you have to recognize the yarmulke you wear defines how people view you. So that's your choice. I mean, you could do whatever you want. Halachically, it's all okay. So then the question becomes a practical one, not a halachic one. So now you know the social norms, as problematic as they are, that's the world we live in. And the rest is up to you. There's no halachic preference either way. I was there when a guy asked Rav Shlomo Fisher. He's a big Talmid Chacham, the biggest Talmid Chacham alive today. He said, I'm switching from, I don't remember if it was black to knitted or knitted to black, so I have to make a Taras Nedarim. So his answer was, you could take a rag and put it on your head. I couldn't care less. There's no Ataras Nedarim, makes no difference. But then it doesn't make what you're putting on your head. You're fulfilling the halacha. Does it really matter? That was his answer. Yeah.
So, I ask, why then, if you, the only reason to really decide on what type of kippah you wear is practical, why do you choose to wear a black?
So it's
like the views that you said that kind of conveys to people doesn't really sound like from what.
Right, but I personally know, I usually don't like answering this question, but I think I've given you all the backdrop to understand that if the head of the movement, Rav Tzvi Yehuda himself, was against it, because he said, you don't cause divisiveness among Am Yisrael. So even though he didn't win, but technically you see, even the people who headed this movement didn't approve of it. I mean, I'm not saying anyone should switch. You guys have a lot to lose if you wear a black yarmulke. I'm not for it for you guys. You're in Machon Meir, and the guys will look at you a certain way. And believe me, guys look at me a certain way because of my black kippah. I mean, I'm also judged based upon my kippah. But at the end of the day, I mean, I have to deal with also my son who goes to cheder where they wear black kippot. I have to deal with neighbors. I have to deal with the whole society out there. So I also have to be practical. And I always felt, for my sake, I wanted to be able to enter every crowd and not have to define myself. I'm undefined. No one knows what I am. And I like it that way. I don't believe that Judaism is about defining a person as he's this, he's that, or the other thing. There's truth. Each camp has certain areas where they're more correct and certain areas where they're even more correct. Every camp has their strengths. So why should a person define himself, I'm with this? Why? To the exclusion of that? Each one has their strengths. So with my black kippah, I can enter Machon Meir. You're right. All the guys here assume I never did the army and I'm against the army. I mean, guys make, in the Israeli department, not the English department. In the other departments, you guys are new here. In the other departments, there are a lot of assumptions made about me because I'm wearing a black kippah. Okay. Whatever you'll do, there's a price to pay. For me, Machon Meir is a large part of my life because you guys mean a lot to me. But at the end of the day, it's the hours I spend at night over here. I have a whole day, a whole life outside Machon Meir. So for me, the practical, I mean, what makes sense is that. But it's practical. It's not halachic. Halachically, it makes no difference. Yeah.
Rabbi, this might be a little weird question.
I'll tell you. I